I would be amiss if I didn't start out by congratulating the Houston community. After the fourth run, I went to bed. I knew that was it. It was over. What a great team this city has, and I will be rooting for the Astros to win the World Series against the despicable Dodgers. Thank you so much all for keeping us in prayer, Barbara and myself, as we made a quick trip, a needed trip to Ukraine to get foster homes and transitional homes going. We really appreciate your prayers, and so many of you have told us you have been praying for us, and we definitely know that God answered your prayers. Today we continue our series through 1 Corinthians. You know, I really enjoy going through book by book because, you know, you can't miss things. You can jump, but you know what? God gave us his word so that we can grow in it, all of it, and not just pick out the things that are comfortable for us today. But this message today is a simple message. It's a message that I believe that God's people should be very familiar with, a message that I hope that it can remind you again of who we are, why we're here, and the things that we do. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this day. Thank you for giving us the privilege, even on a very stormy day, to gather together to worship your name and to be able to study your word and together to study it, not just here, but also in Sunday school classes and encourage one another and bless each other and glorify your name. We pray that you speak to our hearts now. In your name we pray. Amen. I entitled this message, Three Things or Three Actions That Would Change Your Life. And I believe that with all my heart. I know there's so many things that we do every single day. And some of them really drastically change our lives here and there. But there are three choices that we make, three action things, I believe, that is continuous in our lives. And I want to share with you that those three today from this passage. The first one is, Paul said, I have made a choice. I've made a choice. You see, he said, remember, we're going through 1 Corinthians. We're talking about how once you become a Christian, you have freedom in your life. You have freedom to thrive. You have freedom from the things that used to be bondages to us. But nevertheless, now you're free. But then Paul says, wait a minute, but your freedom should not just allow you to do whatever you want, you know, that is not sin. But nevertheless, you have to curtail your freedom on the basis of what is best. And he said, I have made a choice for that. I have made a choice that whatever I do, I want to put the gospel paramount in my life. So that all the choices that I make, well, you know what? Those things are going to come under this one choice, and that is that the gospel message is most important. The past few weeks, you know, we've been perhaps deluged, if you're a news person that loves to read the news and so forth, of something that was really horrific that's been happening, and it's just coming out to light, and that is something that was happening in the Hollywood area, you know, a place where I won't even describe the person or names, but there's a lot of terrible things that have happened in the last few decades that has been covered up and so forth. Now it's coming to light, a lot of sexual harassment and assault and things that's going on. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, I used to live in New York City, and I remember meeting a lot of people that are in that category, that industry. See, I grew up in the Lower East Side. I went to school in Greenwich Village. I shopped there. I used to kind of walk around and go to restaurants in Soho and so forth. And I would meet a lot of these young people. You see, in America, a lot of people growing up in Iowa, Nebraska, whatever, they're young. They say, you know, I just want to become famous. I want to make it in life. I want to be a celebrity. I want to be a star. And so we see all these people that are out there, and they go and they begin to go to two places, particularly Hollywood, California, or New York. And they do all kinds of things. Some of them may be models. Some of them may be actors and actresses and so forth. And they want to become something. And you don't know how many people I met that were waiting and doing all kinds of menial jobs because they said, I'm just waiting for my break to happen. And so they'll go there. And they'll go and they'll have a photo shoot. And they'll go and they'll go to a possibility of a part in a play or something like that. And I know a few people like that. And for some, they'll do anything to get that. You know, whether it is I have to take my clothes off, whether I have to sleep around here with somebody, whether I have to do all these immoral things that I may not want to do, but I want to do that because I've made a choice. I want to become famous. I want to be a celebrity. I want to have a part in that play. I want to have a part in that movie. I'm going to do that. See, they made a choice. And as a result of that choice, their life is set up. And so you read about the stories of these actresses, and particularly about more than 50 of them that have come out, some of them very famous, ones that we watch in movies all the time, that 20 years ago they have been subjected to this harassment and abuse and assault, and they never said anything because if they said something, their career would be destroyed. So they made a choice. That's not to excuse it at all. It doesn't excuse the predator and predators about it, but it is a choice that people make. I want you to know something. As Christians, even though we have given our lives to Jesus Christ and our eternity is secure, and our lives are great, you know, He changes our lives. But we make choices. We can make a choice to say, I'm going to live a great life in the Lord. I'm going to have a great family. I'm so glad my security in heaven is there. I'm so glad this and that. I love my church and so forth. But nevertheless, I'm going to live a good life here. You can make that choice. Or you can make another. Like the Apostle Paul, he could have said, you know, I'm not going to be a Pharisee anymore. I'm just going to be a religious leader. I'm going to be a good man. I'm going to get married, have family. I'm just going to make that choice. Or he can make that one. He said, no. The gospel message is going to be primary and pivotal in my life. What are you going to do? It isn't just like it just happens, okay? You have to make that choice. I remember when I was 18 years old. In fact, there's something that happened recently that reminded me of it. And I was, you know, I want to be an engineer. I was good at it. Math was easy, science was easy, engineering was so enjoyable for me. Every time I looked at things, I just, you know, looked at it through the engineering eyes. I loved it. Had a great scholarship going. And what I wanted to do was to be an engineer. I thought, you know, but I want to be a Christian engineer. I want to do something that God wanted me to do. And so, in fact, I was thinking about going to a school in Texas. Can you believe that? When I was 18 years old. It was Laterno in Longview. And I was going to enroll there and so on and so forth, but finally decided not to and stayed in New York. But that's what I was going to do. But during that same year, I became 18, and then during that year of my life, God did something in my life, gave me a choice, brought me to a place where He said, are you going to make a choice for me? Now, there's nothing wrong with being a Christian engineer. Don't think anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being a businessman and being a Christian. It doesn't mean anything that is bad if you choose otherwise. But then, do you want to make a choice that is different? It challenged my heart to say that the gospel is going to be my choice. So I made a choice. I made a choice that the gospel was going to be primary in my life. That is what is going to be the most important thing for me. That telling people about Jesus Christ and how Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and that He paid my debt of sin, and that if I receive Him as my Lord and Savior, as I did when I was 13 years old, I will become a born-again believer. I want to tell that to people, and I told that thousands and thousands of times because I made this choice that it was going to be primary in my life. Now, which means a lot of things. It means I gave up a bunch of stuff. Stuff that now I look back and is garbage to me. But nevertheless, I had to make those choices. And that one choice precipitated all the other choices. I want to tell you something about not just a person, but a family. As a family, we can do that. It's not just one person. What is the family going to do? I think about missionaries that go overseas. A whole family, you know. I have friends right now working at going overseas, and they have 3 kids and 4 kids or whatever it is. So as a family, they have to make a choice. And sometimes it's hard for the children. It is. It is hard for the children to be living overseas and in a situation where they may not just be comfortable, a different culture and so forth. Also a church. Church has to make a choice. Say, well, what? Churches? Church, that's not a choice the church makes. It's already made, right? Isn't it? Not so. Barbara and I met a man, a real godly man, a retired minister. He's doing something for BGCT, and he's doing some good works. And we're sitting around a table, and one time we're talking, and he said, well, I was in this church, particular church, somewhere in Southwest Texas. And he says, he retired from there, and then during his retirement, after 13 years of ministry in the church, he said, you know what? They asked me, if there's one thing you regretted, what would it be? Now, that is a trap question, all right? You don't want to say that too much, you know? You ask a pastor, after 13 years, what is the one thing you regret? And most of the time, oh, no, nothing. Everything's great, you know? You kind of don't want to really say it. But he did. Wow, when he said it, Barbara and I was just kind of stunned. He said, before the church people, this is what he said. He said, you know, I love being here. I love you guys. I did, you know, it was a really enjoyable time for my wife and I and my family here. But he said, if I had one regret, this is the regret. He said, I regret it that I spent 13 years trying to make you comfortable and happy. Sounded scary, right? And I didn't look for opportunity to do outreach. Wow. You see, sometimes even as churches, we make choices. What is our church going to be? Is our church going to be a community in which we care for everybody, which sounds great? And people are grown and people are cared for and families are treated well and so on and on and on. You can do that. All that stuff is good. It is the Christian community. But when you miss out on the primary choice, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you abandon that for the sake of taking care of things, well, that's something that Paul was not going to do. So he made a choice. He made a choice. What choices are we going to make? The second thing is, I am looking for and listening for opportunities. I love it when he goes on. And it's interesting here. I want you to understand what the scripture is saying here. He says, you know what? I'm going to become whatever I need to be. I'm going to become whatever I need to be. What does that mean? First of all, you need to understand something, that Paul's not saying that I'm just going to be, you know, anything and everything to get something done. The means to an end means nothing. No, he's not saying that, because he writes it. He talks about it. He talks about how the law, some of the, you know, that I'm still under the law of God. You know, he's not talking about moral stuff. He's not saying, if I'm in the midst of a promiscuous crowd, I'm going to be promiscuous with them so that I can share the gospel. No, not at all. That's not what he's saying. In fact, we had some discussion of this when I was in seminary, or teaching seminary, and some of the students would say, you know, Pastor, we want to do some ministry. We want to go out there and be on the cutting edge of ministry with people who don't go to church, and there's lots and lots of people who don't go to church. So we want to go into places like a bar, we want to go to clubs and all those places, because they don't know the Lord. They need to know the Lord. That's fine. In fact, one person, he and his friends, were opening a bar. And I said, what are you going to do when you open the bar? You're going to be serving alcohol? Oh, yeah, we're going to do all that. So, you know, I'm scratching my head a little bit. I'm not against drinking alcohol. The Bible doesn't forbid that. But, you know, in bar places, this is a place where people get drunk. This is a place where people do all kinds of things that we don't want to be doing. So it's really hard. So we had a good discussion about it. But I want you to understand, for the sake of the gospel, it doesn't mean that you change your morality, whatever your morality is. It is the stuff that we do. Such as, once upon a time when I started a church, I always wore a pinstripe suit. It's just what we did in New York. In fact, three-piece too. I know, it looks like a clown now. That's what we did. You got to dress right. And now, you know, you guys come in and said, Pastor, you're too dressed up. You got a downside. So I took my tie off. I'm going to eventually take other things off, but I won't come in shorts, I promise you. But, you know, those things are just forms, all right? They're just forms. Paul was saying, talking about this, he was saying, when I'm with the Jews, I'm going to act like Jewish people. When I'm with the Gentile, I'm going to act like Gentile people. There's no point putting up barriers of the gospel. says, I am going to look for opportunities and listen for them to see how I can share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. I know that there are some thoughts. In fact, this past week we had some discussions with some friends of ours in Ukraine that are a little more conservative, but Baptists, they are very, very conservative. And we talked about ministering to young people. And we were talking, as we were talking about it, we even talked about, you know, tattoos and earrings and all kinds of stuff like that. And I remember the days, in the early days, you know, when someone would come in literally dressed in sneakers and all, you know, literally people saying, no, don't come, come back. Dress appropriately, come to church. And somebody with tattoos around and earrings, oh my goodness, how can you do things like that to yourself? This is inappropriate, we tell them, you know? That's kind of what we did as Christians. But you know what? This is a society in which we are in. A society in which embraces these kinds of things. And what we need to understand and discover is what is it that will reach these people for Jesus Christ? There's a group of people out there that may never be able to fit into our church and in churches. How are they going to be one to the Lord? How? How are they going to be one to the Lord? Remember David Wilkinson, you know him. He's with the Lord now. Person that started Teen Challenge and also the Times Square Church and being big deal, right? He came, the days in the 60s and 70s, you know, he came in. Remember the first story? If you never read his story, you will find out that he came to New York City, Brooklyn specifically, to a place where I grew up, actually, because I went to school in the same area that he came. He was going to come as a white guy somewhere to minister with the ghetto black folks in the Fort Greene area, the Bed-Stuy area. How are you supposed to do that? You know, he said, wait a minute, you know, the church is going to present the gospel. They're not interested in that, forget them. No. He went right in. He became like them in so many ways. He slept in his car some of the times. And he ministered to these ghetto folks, these people that were gangsters and so forth, and he almost become just like them so that the gospel message would get through to them. And a phenomenal ministry came out. Thousands of young people and older people have given their lives to Jesus Christ because of this one man who made a choice, who looked for opportunities. I wonder if we as a church would do that. And we as people would do that. As family men, are we looking for opportunities all the time? The Apostle Paul said, I made a choice. My life's choice is this. That is that the gospel message is paramount. It is the most important thing in my life. And as I go through life thinking that, I'm going to look at for opportunities and situations in which I can do something about it. I'm going to make those choices as I find the opportunities and as I find and hear about them. Are we going to do that? I remember when we were in New York. We built a real nice building in the heart of Flushing. And we had a bunch of people in our church, all kinds of different people. But one group of people we didn't have was we didn't have a lot of Spanish folks. And we didn't have a Spanish service or anything like that. I still remember standing on the corner of our church one time and watching people pass by. Now, one of the things I like to do to find opportunities is, you know, it's easy to get in your car and drive. But when you're looking out your windshield, looking out your window, the people aren't quite the same as if you're walking by. You just feel them. You know, you just feel the people. And so I did that. And I began to see a whole lot of Spanish people crossing our church, just going by, back and forth, back and forth. And I thought, wait a minute, all these Spanish people, if they came to our church, they wouldn't be able to understand, perhaps, and not just linguistically, but also culturally, they may not be able to really handle this. I thought, wait a minute, we really need to minister to these people. These are opportunities that God has given to us every single day walking by our church. Now, this is right in the heart of the city, so, you know, lots of people walking by. It's not quite like here, Hunter's Creek. So we began to pray about it, and then eventually we started a Spanish congregation. A congregation that ministered to many, 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 many people. We baptized so many Spanish people. People that have no correlation with me. I'm not Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. But nevertheless, it was an opportunity that God has given to us. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, you got to look for them. You got to hear them. You got to see what's happening there. There are all kinds of opportunities and possibilities if you would choose to live your life out that way. Now, we don't have to. We can choose to live our lives just like regular, you know, just like, oh, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm so glad my family is well-to-do in the sense of morally and ethically and so forth. I'm so glad that I go to a good church. I'm so glad I can go once in a while to a conference or something. But if you are making a choice for your life, and that choice says the gospel is paramount, you want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people, then you need to look for opportunities and listen for them. The third thing I think is really neat that the Apostle Paul gives to us. Sorry. We're still trying to figure this out a little bit. I want to live out the gospel message. What does that mean? He goes toward the end. He's not saying that if I don't do these things, I'll lose my salvation. He's not saying that, you know, suddenly I am going to not be a Christian anymore if I don't. No, he's not saying that. But what he's saying is this. That as Christians, if we choose this route, if we make it a priority in our lives and put away some of the things that we have freedom to do, you know, just to enjoy life, to put those things away and say, make this a priority, I am going to live out the gospel message. What does that mean? I know folks here in CBC, you guys are wonderful people. We say that to people all the time. In fact, we had a friend that came here and, you know, he wrote all kinds of glowing things about who you are. You might not even know who he is, but he said, man, CBC people are so awesome. You are. But you know what? There is more than just being awesome people. You know, there is a purpose in which God has given to you and me. And if we live out that, it'll be amazing. You know, I had season tickets to the Yankees. I know it's going to take me a day or two. Then I'm going to be all gung-ho for the Astros. In the days when they were great, right? Not too long ago. Maybe way too long ago, I guess. Remember Andy Pettit from Houston when he was with the Yankees? The manager of the Yankees, Joe Girardi, feel bad for him today, but, you know, solid Christian. Andy Pettit, Joe Girardi, and a guy named Mariano Rivera, maybe the best closer ever, certainly for the Yankees, those three anchored a Christian community in the Yankee team, in the dugout, in the clubhouse. They had Bible studies all the time. They ministered to the team as a whole. And you know what? I'm going to say that's why God blessed them with some championships during that stretch. They were awesome. Even though they were celebrities craved by everybody, come and sign my baseball, on and on, they just loved God to death. They lived out their faith. Now, they weren't the only ones. They were just some. There's a whole lot of other sports celebrities that are awful. They beat their girlfriends, their wives, on and on, do terrible things, right? No, not these. One of my favorite football players, his name is Kirk Cousins. I know he's in my fantasy football league, so I like him. He has a Bible study in the D.C. area. Doesn't announce it, just has a Bible study. Faithfully living out in his home, you know, faithfully living out the gospel message. I knew this man. He was a former CEO of JCPenney. Mr. Seifert, I invited him to our church to speak one time. Has a very simple house. CEO, JCPenney, in New Jersey. I have friends that, for the first time in their life, you know, this one particular man, he wasn't a Christian. He said he got invited to a meeting. He didn't know what it was. He went there, and there he met JCPenney CEOs, you know, Mr. Seifert, in this little modest home, and then he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Found the Lord in that Bible study. There are people like that all over the place. They're living out their faith, you know? This is what they do. And I think sometimes we as Christians, you know, we receive the gospel and we say, great, I have it. I'm secured in heaven, you know? I'm just going to live my life out now. I'm going to live it well. I'm going to be ethical. I'm not going to be immoral or anything like that. But I'm just living that life out. And I want to tell you something. There's more. There's more. God can give you more. God has so much more for you. You don't have to be named the Apostle Paul. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. God has so much more for you. And I tell you, when you live that life out, That life is exciting. You're going to see people give their lives to Jesus Christ in front of your eyes. You're going to praise God for the many things that are transformed in families. You're going to see people that are so dysfunctional, broken families that will be changed because of the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. You're going to see all those things. You're going to live it out. And that's what Paul is talking about. He says, I don't want to miss out on this. This is what it's about. And don't assume it just happens. It doesn't just happen. You have to make choices. There are actions that you have to make and do in order for that to happen. The first thing is you have to choose that the gospel message is going to be paramount in your life. And if some things are preventing the gospel message from happening, you're going to eliminate those things from your life. That's what you do. That's a freedom that you may have, but I'm going to give that up because of the gospel message. That's what the Apostle Paul did. You may be called upon to go to places, to change your lifestyle, to do all kinds of stuff because of that. And when you do, I want to tell you this, you will never regret it. You will never regret it. The Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, you know what? If I have to become like a Jewish person, I will be. If I have to become like a Greek person, I would be. There's a story in the Old Testament. It's not even a story. It is the law, actually. There were slaves. There were slaves back in those days. But you know what? There's this law that a slave can earn his freedom, whatever it is. Someone buy him out, or he's done it, whatever. When that slave becomes free, he's free. But this is really sweet. It's amazing. But if that slave loves his master so much, he says, I am free now, but I still want to serve my master. You know what they do? They'll take this person on his own volition. They'll take his ear, put it against the doorpost, and they'll nail a hole through it. And that will be a sign that this former slave is still serving his master, but by his own volition. Because he loves his master. You say, what slave would do that? Well, obviously some did. You know what? That's who we are. Our master is Jesus Christ. He's freed us from all the bondage of sin. All of it. But now we want to serve him. I can be free. I don't have to be going to church all the time. I don't have to be doing those things. You know what? It doesn't take away my salvation if I just hang out and do whatever I want to in my life since I already got that card in heaven, you know? Get out of jail free. But I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to use and abuse my freedom for my own personal sake because I love my master. I love Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm going to do what is primary in his heart, and that is the gospel message. And the Apostle Paul, that's what he was talking about. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little more about this, but it's going to talk about a few other things, but it focuses on the same thing. I hope you get the passion of the Apostle Paul. This is a man that loved God so much. He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't just do that. He walks it. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you so much for the fact that you saved us and you've given us a life that is amazing, a life in which we can live free, know that our sins are forgiven, and looking forward to the day when you will take us home. But Father, I want to pray for us as a church, for individuals here right now. Lord God, would you pound that passion into our hearts? That the gospel message is so important. That it can be nothing but priority in our lives, Lord. Father, we may be young or old, it doesn't matter. But Lord, would you help us to discover how we can make the gospel message so much a part of our lives that those who meet us will know that we love Jesus. And they need you. Thank you so much in your name.